In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Thanks be to God.
I think some of you were probably not expecting me to be here today, because some of you will be aware of something that happened on Tuesday. It was the Thanksgiving service for Don Radley's life. And before that, there was a family gathering at the crematorium. And Steve Allen, who was there, noticed there was a list of what was going to be happening at the crematorium that day. And it said, at 2:30, cremation of David Hudson. I was a little bit worried when it got to that sort of time. Fortunately for me, not for somebody else, I think, but it was another David Hudson. So I am here. But if you were just, you may have been just wondering what will happen today. We're going to look at this this reading, and the title today of our first Advent sermons is Mary from Trouble to Trust. Mary from Trouble to Trust. And we see that at the beginning she says it says that she's greatly troubled. We can understand why, but at the end there's a note of trust in the way that she responds to the situation that she has. I guess for all of us, we can identify with that, times when we felt that there was trouble in our lives, but then later we've learned to trust, even through difficulty. So we're just going to have a look at that today. But let's just have a think about Mary. It says in the sixth month, that is the sixth month after Elizabeth had had the visitation from the angel. It says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Nazareth is a nowhere town, really. It wasn't a town that was loved. It wasn't a town that was known. And as far as I can see, it's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It was like nowhere. And yet this is where the angel went. And this is where Mary, who was a nobody from nowhere, lived. And this is where the angel was sent to. You would have thought, wouldn't you, or wouldn't I, that if God is going to send an angel, he would have been better going to a centre of religious activity. Why not Jerusalem? Everybody would have known what was going on there. Everybody respects Jerusalem. Well, they did then. But no, Nazareth, a place in Galilee, which was perhaps the poorest area of Israel, and that's where the angel was sent. And it's a bit like today. Sometimes we think that God will do his great things in big churches and major cities. There are people who will travel to Lod or to Iona, places of so-called religious activity, as though God can't do something in Guiseley or Shipley or Menston or Otley. But God is not bound by our thinking when it comes to places, nor is he bound by our thinking when it comes to people. Why didn't the angel appear to a king? Why didn't the angel appear to a great man or a great woman? In fact, why didn't the angel appear to a man in those days when women were never highly esteemed, it seems? And yet the story is one that challenges us, because God can speak to us. God is with us in Guiseley. When half the church can't be here because of bad weather, God is still here. God turns up. The snow doesn't stop him. Isn't that wonderful that he is here? And so God, through his angel, calls to this woman of low estate in a one-horse town, but that wasn't relevant in God's eyes. So this morning we're going to look at three things. As the angel comes to her, we're going to see a troubling word, we're going to see a trying word, and we're going to see a trusting word. I don't normally do this alliteration, but just for once today I thought I'd do it. So a troubling word, a trying word, and a trusting word. Let's look at this troubling word in verses 28 and 29. The angel went to her, that's to Mary, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." That was a bit of a shock, wasn't it? Not only does she have the shock of seeing an angel, but she then has the shock of being told that she's highly favoured. I wonder if she thought, is this a case of mistaken identity? I wonder if the angel caught the wrong bus and came to the wrong place. There's only one bus a day to Nazareth anyway. It's so much in the outback. Maybe the angel came with the wrong donkey. Maybe the angel came with the wrong camel. But no, the angel did seem to know what he was talking about. But it says then in verse 29 that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. It's not surprising that she was troubled. Even before she knew what the message was going to be. She's not got the message yet. All she's seen is this angel and been told that she's highly favoured. The message, paraphrase of the Bible, says she was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. It is an odd greeting, isn't it, to be told you're highly favoured? You wouldn't expect that if somebody came to your door and said you're highly favoured. Not unless they were trying to sell you something, maybe. You've been highly favoured, we've got these vacuum cleaners and you can have one of these for £999. You would not expect the first thing to be said to you, that you are highly favoured. But that is what the angel said. You know, it was a troubling word to her. It says she was troubled. And sometimes we can find God's word to us troubling. As we read the Bible, do you read things in the Bible and think, that troubles me? I don't understand it. It's a confusing thing that God is saying in his word here. Do you read the Bible sometimes and think, what is that about? I've been reading over these last few weeks the book of Hosea. That is a troubling word. I'm at chapter 10, there's 14 chapters, I think. I'm at chapter 10, and I don't know that I've learnt anything much from it, really. I don't understand I understand it, but I don't see much relevance to my life. But it's there. It's there for us to benefit from. And there are little things I think, oh, that's an interesting point. Sometimes we read the word, and it is a troubling word. We hear the word in church, and it is a troubling word. Maybe you are troubled sometimes when we speak about salvation and we speak about Jesus dying on a cross. And when we speak about repentance, maybe you think, oh, I'm not sure that this is for me. I like the social side of church, but I'm not sure about all this religious stuff. I think we can be like that sometimes, can't we, when it comes to the Bible. There are bits that we think, I'm not sure that that's for me. And yet the very reason why Jesus was born, we say at Christmas, we don't know that he was born December 25th, but the very reason why Jesus was born is so that we can have salvation. And yet sometimes that might trouble us. I wonder if it troubles you sometimes when you hear the word of God spoken or when you read it for yourself. So it was a troubling word, but it was also a trying word. And verses 30 to 34 help us to understand why it was a trying word for Mary. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." So that helps to explain why she's favoured. She's favoured because she's found favour with God. And that might have been comforting for her. But the angel goes on. In fact, the angel does go on, if you know what I mean. It seems like he's got a message to give and it just seems like he keeps going with it. He's so excited about it. And Mary's sort of, is she taking it in? "You will be with child and you will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. The kingdom will never end." But Mary's only just got, what? I'm going to be with child? She's missed all the rest. Because she interrupts at this point, verse 34, she says, "How will this be?" Mary asks the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel has been going on and on about all these major themes, these big ideas. But for her, what? I'll be with child? Do you know I'm only about 13? Do you know what you're saying? You've got to sort of imagine what it must have been like for her. The rest of the message that he gives, it wouldn't have made a lot of sense to her. What's all this about? She must have said, just slow down. Slow down a bit. I don't understand all the rest of it, but I don't understand that very first bit you told me. You will be with child. Her mind has gone into overdrive. She's thinking, what will the neighbours think? What will Joseph think? I have to say that for us, perhaps, Mary's predicament has lost some of its force. Being pregnant out of wedlock these days is quite commonplace. But then, it wasn't. In fact, it was shameful in those days. It was a very trying word. For Mary. Very trying indeed. Not just was she troubled, but it was trying. Do you ever find God's word trying? Do you read things and say, oh, we can't say that these days. I couldn't read this bit out publicly. That's not very politically correct. That's not relevant to our day and age. That's impossible. Do you ever do that when you're reading the word? Do you ever think, it's a very trying word. The thing is, God is not bound by what is possible, humanly speaking. He's not bound by the obstacles that we might put together. He's not bound by time or space or culture. It's true that virgins cannot give birth because that was how God created things. But he can make exceptions because he can do the impossible if it is necessary to do so. Have you ever thought about, you know, people say, oh, it can't be a true story. It's just impossible. That's what people say. I'm sure you got that when you were at school, you probably get that in the workplace. It can't be possible that a virgin would give birth. But have you ever thought, if the story wasn't true, and if somebody had wanted to write a story, if Luke had wanted to write a story that wasn't true, would he really have put something in there that couldn't be true? Nobody would believe it. He would only put it in there if it actually did happen. If you wanted to make up a story and you want people to believe it, you put in believable things, don't you? Luke, he would have known Mary. He would have spoken to her about it. He would have said, I'm going to write about this. Just tell me exactly what happened. Tell me what the angel said. What did Mary say then? Well, she didn't say, all right, yeah, I think I can handle that. No, she was honest. Verse 34, Mary asked the angel, how will this be? How will this be? She knew about the birds and the bees. She understood. She was not ignorant. She realized that this, humanly speaking, could not be. Her question was fair and legitimate. How will this be? Is it right to question God's word? Well, it depends on our attitude towards it. I think sometimes it is good to question what God says, not because we don't believe him, but because simply we do not understand it. I think it's all right to say to God, I don't get this, it's hard. It's a trying word for me, is this? What is it you're trying to say? He knows that we're quite weak in our thinking. He knows what we're like. I don't think it's wrong to question God's word, but it depends how we question it. It depends what our motive is in questioning it. If we're questioning it to deny it, I think that's dangerous. If we're questioning it to say, this isn't relevant these days, I think that's dangerous. But if we question it to say, God, what is there to learn from this? Then I think that's a good thing. So while we should not be afraid to tell God that we trust him, I think we should also not be afraid to tell him when we find it trying and hard to understand. It was a troubling word, and it was a trying word. But then we have a trusting word. And these are verses 35 to 38. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then he starts going on again. And I'm sure that was the only thing that was in her mind. But he starts again, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was set to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing, nothing, he says, is impossible with God. The angel had a lot to say. I'm sure she didn't take it all in. And it may be that there was more things that when she was telling Luke, that she didn't even remember. There's been a lot to take in. But there was one thing for her to take in, really. And that is that she was going to be with child. But I think that the angel was trying to encourage her. When he says, even Elizabeth is with child, I think that might have encouraged her. I suspect she did not know this. I suspect this was new information for her. Because it does say that when Elizabeth heard that she was going to be with child, it does say that she went effectively into hiding for 5 months. So she'd probably not told anybody about this news. But I think what Gabriel is saying, look, it may be hard to believe, but go check with Elizabeth. Go check with, she's your relative, you know her. Go and check with her to see if what I am saying is true. And if what I am saying is true, that Elizabeth, an old lady, is with child, and if you can believe that, especially when you see the bump, if you can believe that, then can you believe that God can use a supernatural means to make sure that you are with child? So I think Gabriel's words were assuring. And so she's asked how it will be. But verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. That's the trusting word, isn't it? The trusting word. She is not entirely happy, I don't think. She knows she's got to explain this to Joseph, the man to whom she is engaged. She knows she's got to explain it to her neighbours, and even in a backwater town like Nazareth, there'll be talk. She knows it's not going to be easy. And she can't understand, surely, all this about the Son of the Most High and the Holy Spirit. And she can't grasp all this. One who would reign forever. The throne of David. The throne of Jacob. She can't grasp all this. It would have been a lot easier, perhaps, for her if none of this had happened. But she says this trusting word, I am the Lord's servant. In other words, I belong to you. I will do whatever you want me to do. May it be to me as you have said. Maybe that's the attitude we should have when we read the Bible and we have bits that we struggle with, bits that don't seem to make sense in our culture and in our days. Maybe we should be able to say, may it be. May it be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the lessons that we learn from Mary. We thank you, Father, that you chose somebody from a backwater town, somebody of no great repute, somebody not known, but somebody who you knew would be a faithful and somebody who could give birth to your son. And Father, we learn from her that she had difficulty in trusting your word, but she did trust. And Father, we pray that we too will trust. And as we come to this Advent season, and as we look forward to once again thinking about the birth of your dear son, we pray, Father, that it might, the whole story might impress us once again. Even the things that seem impossible, even the things which seem difficult, that Jesus, your son, came into this world. We pray that you will speak to us during this season. Amen.